I am not ashamed of the gospel. The word gospel means good news, and it is good news about messianic salvation through Messiah Jesus, because this good news is the power of God that is able to bring salvation, which is our greatest need, to everyone who believes this message, first to the Jewish people, but also to everybody else. Well, shalom. This is Rabbi Lauren coming to you live via Skype from the studios of Congregation Shema Yisrael with Jesus Made Me Kosher. Well, today I want to continue talking about the Jewishness of the Trinity. That's right, the Jewishness of the Trinity. The doctrine of the Trinity is one of the most important doctrines of the Christian faith. The doctrine of the Trinity separates truth from error, orthodoxy from heresy. Denying the Trinity is a very serious heresy that strikes at the nature of God, the development of church doctrine, the unity of the church, the truth of the Bible, the integrity of the gospel. In spite of that, in the Metro Detroit area, there are 243 oneness groups. Sometimes they're called United Pentecostals. Sometimes they're nicknamed Jesus Only, who deny that God is three and yet one. They are modalists. They believe that there's only one God who reveals himself in three modes. Three manifestations. This is an ancient heresy that was rejected long ago by the church. They deny that God is three persons. But I'm telling you, my friends, that the Word of God teaches that the Messiah, the Son of God, Yeshua, is an eternal person, not a mode, not a manifestation. And God the Father is an eternal person, not a mode, not a manifestation. And the Spirit of God is a person without a body, but nevertheless a person with mind, emotion, and will, the key essentials of what makes a person a person. If they have never been challenged by the truth, maybe these modalists are saved. But if they have heard the truth about the three in oneness of God and they reject that core doctrine of the Christian faith, they are likely to be in very serious trouble. And then there are other non-Christian groups like Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons and others who deny the Trinity and are considered to be outside of Christianity, outside of the true church, outside of salvation. So this doctrine of the Trinity is very important, and we want to make absolutely sure that we remain within the truth on this essential teaching that involves our very salvation. Well, last week, Rabbi Glenn and I were talking about the Jewishness of the Trinity, and we talk about the Jewishness of the Trinity because it's first found not in the New Testament, but in the Old Testament, in the Tanakh, in the Hebrew Scriptures, even in the Torah, the five books of Moses. For example, in the Torah, we have a plural title for God. Elohim is generally and correctly translated as God, but it is a plural title, a plural noun. It can and is translated as gods, plural. Now, there is a singular form, Eloah, God, but the plural Elohim is used far more often than the singular Eloah. And right in Genesis 1:1, we have this plural title for God. In the beginning, Elohim, God, plural. So we have a plural title for God in the Jewish Bible. Then we have plural verbs. Normally, the plural title Elohim is followed by a singular verb, but there are several fascinating instances when Elohim is accompanied by a plural verb, which makes it even stronger. For example, Genesis 20, verse 13, literally says in Hebrew that Elohim, God, they caused me, and Abraham is speaking, they caused me to wander from my father's house. So you have this plural title, Elohim, followed by a plural verb. They caused me to wander. interesting. Then we have plural pronouns like us and we. There are times when plural pronouns are used to describe the God of Israel. The Lord, speaking in Genesis 1:26, says, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness." Let us, a plural pronoun, make man in our image, according to our likeness. That's a plural pronoun, and plural possessives, us and our. Plural nouns. There are several intriguing occurrences where plural nouns are used to refer to the one God. Isaiah 54, verse 5. "For your maker is your husband." If you look at the Hebrew, it's literally, "For your makers," plural, "is your husbands," plural. A plural noun used to describe the one God. Then we have plural descriptions. In Isaiah 48, one speaks who calls himself the first and the last, the one who founded the earth. That same one goes on to say that, "From the first I have not spoken in secret. From the time it took place, I was there. And now the Lord God has sent me and his spirit." So we have one who calls himself the first and the last, the creator who founded the earth, speaking, and he says that the Lord God sent him and his spirit. We have three distinct persons, a plural description of God. Psalm 45, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of joy more than your fellows." God has a God. Interesting. Again, a plural description of God. In the Hebrew Scriptures, from time to time, God manifested himself as this enigmatic, mysterious angel of the Lord, this messenger being — angel means messenger — who appeared throughout Israel's history. When he appeared, this mysterious messenger was treated as God himself. He possessed divine prerogatives. He had divine authority. He received divine worship. The angel of the Lord, distinct from God who sent him, and yet treated with divine prerogatives, authority, and receives divine worship. Now, at some point, maybe at this point, you're thinking, well, what about the Shema, Israel's great declaration of faith? "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." That clearly reveals that God is one. That's true. God is one. But did you know that there are two Hebrew words for one? Echad, which is used in the Shema, and another word, yachid. Echad is used to describe the oneness of God, but it can include a group oneness, as in the oneness of a husband and wife, which are said to be basar echad, one flesh. Yachid, this other word for one, is a singular kind of one. It's not used in the Shema, and it gives the idea of an absolute oneness, like that of an only son. Take now your son, your only son, Isaac. So the Shema teaches that there is one God, but it is a oneness that allows for a three-in-oneness. Well, that's some of the hints of the Jewishness of the Trinity in the Torah. The doctrine of the Trinity, the teaching on the three-in-oneness of God, was clearly revealed by Messiah, Yeshua, the Lord Jesus, when he came. It took the revelation of the Son of God to clearly and fully reveal God's three-in-oneness. In many ways, Messiah claimed to be equal with God the Father. He did not hesitate to use the plural when speaking about himself along with the Father. He says, I and my Father are one. He stated that the person who had seen him had seen God. He told us that we are to be immersed or baptized in the singular name, one person, or, you know, one being, in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, Matthew 28:19. One name, but made of three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Yeshua claimed equality with God. He told a group of Jewish leaders, before Abraham was, I am. I am. He claimed to be the same eternal I am that appeared to Moses at the burning bush. The Lord said to Moses, I am. Thus you shall tell the Jewish people, I am has sent me to you. Messiah told a group of Jewish leaders before Abraham was, I am, claiming equality with God, being this eternal I am God. Yeshua claimed to be omnipresent, all present everywhere, which is only applicable to God. He stated that wherever two or three are gathered together in his name, he's there in their midst. Well, he can only be in their midst and in other people's midst at the same time if he is all present, which is only applicable to God. He promised to be with each one of his followers to the end of time. I will be with you always. He claimed the attribute of omnipotence, being all powerful, which is only applicable to God. When he said that all authority in heaven and on earth, all authority in the entire universe, no matter where, has been entrusted to him, and that he has power and authority over all things. He claimed to have eternal life in himself, inherent within himself, in the very same way that eternal life is part of who God is. John 5:26. For as the Father has life in himself, so the Father has granted the Son also to have life, that same kind of life, in himself. He's claiming to be equal with God. He's claiming equality with God, to have life in himself the very same way that God the Father does. Even though honor and worship is something that only God can receive, Yeshua instructed us that he was to be equally worshiped along with God the Father. John 5:23, all are to honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. The one who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. So honor, worship, is something that is reserved only for God, but Messiah instructed us that he was to receive equal honor, equal worship along with God the Father. He's claiming equality with God, and yet he is distinct from God the Father. Messiah Jesus claimed to be the proper object of our faith, of our belief, of our loyalty, like God. And that if we believed in him and were loyal to him, we would live forever. But if we didn't believe in him and transfer our loyalties to him and were loyal to him like we were loyal to God, we would miss out on eternal life. The Lord Jesus said to a group of Jewish people, I said to you that you will die in your sins unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. And my friends, you do not want to die in your sins in a state of being unreconciled to the living God. So Yeshua is claiming to be the proper object of our faith and belief and loyalty. Just like God is the proper object of our belief and faith. Again, he's claiming equality with God. Messiah claimed to do mighty works that only God can do. He claimed that he is the source of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Well, that's something that's only applicable to God. He claimed that he gives eternal life to the one who he wants to give eternal life to. John 5, verse 2, when God alone is the source of life and the giver of life, and yet Yeshua claimed to be that same source of life. Even though God is the only one that prayer may be properly directed to, Yeshua claimed that he hears and answers prayer from all people, at all places, at all times. Listen to this from John chapter 14. Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, so that the Father may be honored by the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. So it's clear that only God is to be prayed to, and yet Yeshua claimed that he hears and answers prayer from all people, at all times, in all places, something that only God can do, a mighty work of God. Messiah claimed that he will be the one who sends the Holy Spirit, John 15:26, something that only God can do. No one can send the Spirit of God except God himself, and yet Yeshua claimed that he is the one who will send the Holy Spirit to his followers. He claimed that he indwells, along with God the Father, all the children of God. This is something that only God can do. John 14:23, we will come to him. That's Yeshua saying, I and the Father will come to the one who believes and make our abode, our dwelling place, with the one who believes. So he's claiming that he will indwell all the children of God, just like God the Father. This is a great work of God that only God can do. Messiah claimed that he will be the one who raises the dead on the last day, something that only God will do. He claimed that on the day of judgment, all human beings will appear before him for their judgment on the great day of judgment, something that only God will do. God is the great judge. Messiah claimed to have authority to forgive sins, something that only God can do. So Messiah is making these claims about himself, that he is equal to God. Now, by doing this, he is clearly revealing these truths about himself, that he is the eternal Son of God, who is equal to God. He is revealing the truth about the Trinity, the relationship between himself and the Father and the Spirit. And then Yeshua claimed, well, he proved that his claims were true by actually doing signs and wonders and mighty acts of power that demonstrated that he was supernaturally sent by God, empowered by God, approved of by God. Yeshua demonstrated his power to heal. He showed his power to raise the dead. He demonstrated power over nature. He manifested power over Satan and all the armies of hell. Now, since God would never allow a liar or a deceiver to be raised from the dead, and Yeshua was raised from the dead, the only human being to be uniquely raised from the dead and never die again, Yeshua's resurrection is the final demonstration that everything Messiah said about himself and claimed about himself, that he is equal to God, was done with God's blessing, done with God's approval, and that Messiah's claims to have equality with God are absolute truth. Well, this is Rabbi Lauren. We're talking about the Jewishness of the Trinity, such a crucial doctrine for salvation. Not only was the three-in-oneness of God hinted at in the Tanakh, the Hebrew Scriptures, and made clear by Messiah Yeshua himself, But his Jewish representatives, his apostles, the ones he sent into the world, taught that Yeshua is God. And therefore, the teaching about the three in one, the three in oneness of God is true. The apostles stated as absolute fact that Yeshua is the source of all life, something that's only true of God. Like John 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, he was in the beginning with God, all things came into being through him. These Jewish apostles claim that he created all things. Again, John 1, verse 3. They taught that he preceded all things, that all things were created by him, that all things were created for him, that Messiah is upholding all things. In him, all things hold together. Colossians 1, Hebrews 1. These Jewish apostles claimed that in the future, Yeshua will first dissolve and then remake the entire universe, something that only God can do. Hebrews 1, Philippians 3, Revelation 21. These Jewish representatives claim that like God, Messiah Jesus is immutable. He never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. These Jewish apostles and representatives taught that Yeshua has the very form of God, which means that he has God's essential attributes. He inwardly possesses and outwardly displays the very essence and nature of God. Messiah is God's equal and possesses complete equality with God, Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. These Jewish apostles taught that Messiah radiates God's glory and exactly represents God's nature, Hebrews 1, verse 3. These Jewish apostles claimed that the Lord was pleased for all his fullness to dwell in his Son, Colossians 1, 19, and that in Yeshua all the fullness of God dwells in bodily form. Well, this is Rabbi Lauren talking about the Jewishness of the Trinity. These Jewish apostles taught about the three-in-one nature of God by the worship Messiah receives. Let all the angels of God worship him, Hebrews 1, 6. Matthew 14, those who are with him in the boat worshiped him, saying, you are certainly God's son. The Jewishness of the Trinity, a true doctrine, an important doctrine, something that all of us need to understand and embrace. Well, Passover is coming up, and it's a very special holiday, and this year we're having two Passover Seders in only about 3 weeks away from now, and we would love to invite the Metro Detroit community to celebrate Passover with us. You need to get your reservations in by April 1st. We're having two this year, April 6th and 7th, at the Farmington Hills Manor in Farmington Hills. Tickets are $25 for adults and $12 for children. You can contact Jennifer at 248-593-5150 for more information. That's 248-593-5150. Go to our website, which is shema.com. Right on the homepage, there's information about attending our Passover Seders. These are really meaningful. You'll see how Messiah, our Passover lamb, who takes away the sins of the world, is connected to the Jewish Passover and also to our New Covenant Christian faith. So again, I hope that you will consider joining us for Passover. We need your reservations by April 1st. Well, again, this is Rabbi Lauren talking about the Jewishness of the Trinity. There is more to be said about this very important subject, and I'm hoping that Rabbi Glenn and I can continue with the Jewishness of the Trinity on tomorrow's edition of Jesus Made Me Kosher. So until then, I want to say shalom, shalom, may God's perfect peace be yours in abundance, and may the Lord richly bless you.
Do Jesus Made Me Kosher is sponsored by Congregation Shema Yisrael, a community of Messianic Jews and kosher-hearted Gentiles who serve the three-in-one God of Israel. You can find us on the web at shema.com. That's S-H-E-M-A.com. If you'd like more information or have questions, you can also reach us by phone at 248-593-5150. That's 248-593-5150. To hear how Jesus can make you kosher, join us every weekday at 3:30 right here on Faith Talk 1500.